This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Pets Allowed.
Coming up on Pets Allowed today...
Well, with New Year's Eve just around the corner and many fireworks going off already, we'll get through the important fireworks pet safety messages in the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap.
Sharon will be telling us about one very special Cocker Spaniel, Honey.
And at the tail end of the program, we'll preview a dog beach near you on Dog Dates.
That's right. So plenty coming up on Pets Allowed. Shortly, we'll be previewing our Pet of the Week. But for now, we've got a bit of Ricky Lee. This is Joy 94.9 and the Pets Allowed Best of Special.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours and you're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week. From the Lost Dogs Home.
Oh, that was a little delayed there, but it is our news wrap segment. And this week we do have one news item that's quite important. And it's a message that we put out every year around this time. And it is related to pet safety and backyard fireworks. Now, the Lost Dogs Home is warning all dog owners to plan ahead and exercise vigilance against backyard fireworks in the coming weeks and general fireworks. Backyard fireworks in particular catch owners off guard as they are not only scheduled... unlike the official New Year's Eve fireworks or the Christmas Carol's Eve fireworks. Dogs' hearing can be up to four times more sensitive than human beings, so this coupled with their natural instinct to flee and seek refuge when they hear sudden and loud and unfamiliar sounds are quite a dangerous combination. So this is also typically the busiest time for shelters as well, because there's lots of dogs that experience or hear these loud noises, sudden noises that flee. So we are really asking pet owners to plan ahead and be vigilant. Now, Sharon, there are some things that pet owners can do to protect their pets around this time, particularly their dogs. What are some of them?
There are. Well, a very key thing, and obviously make sure your pet is safely either indoors, preferably, or very safely tucked away in the garden or gates are shut, etc. But when the fireworks start, make sure your pets get some reassurance and or distractions, get their favourite toys out, give them their dinner then, you know, make them wait an hour or so. They'll be hungry, the food will be very tempting. But if you do know your animal is likely to fret, then it could be possible that sedation would be the preferable option. So if you think there might be a concern, make an appointment with your vet and get in there and have a chat with them. And get them to offer you some advice on how best to cope with them.
That's right. It's really about preparation, isn't it? And looking at the behavioural patterns of your dog to see if it is a fear or if it's actually something more serious, like an anxiety problem. So your vet will certainly be able to help you out with that. Also, in terms of planning ahead, it's probably a good idea to work out if you're going to be home or not. And if you're not, maybe you might ask a friend to do you a favour and look after your pet.
Absolutely. He can pop round and for a bit of dog sitting, that would be fantastic.
And if they've got dogs of their own, maybe you might alternate. So this year you sit their pet and next year they look after your pet. It's good to keep them company. That's definitely what we suggest. And if you can't, like you said, make sure the backyard's secure, make sure all the gates are secure, there's no holes for them to escape. But also with larger dogs in particular as well, it's probably best to keep them inside, ones that are particularly prone to scaling fences, because when they do, they get themselves into serious trouble and come to the shelter quite injured as well.
That's right. It's not just the upset that's caused by the fireworks, but it's what can happen to them if they're out on the streets. They can be involved in an accident. There can be lots of traumatic things. And also, let's not forget our cats as well. I have indoor-outdoor cats, yes. But New Year's Eve, I make sure they're home early, keep them in the house because, again, they're not particularly nervous animals, but they only need a loud bang to go off at the wrong time and spook them, and who knows what could happen.
That's right. And also for dogs and cats, identify.
Oh, yes.
Make sure they've got a microchip, they've got an ID tag, that the details on them are up to date. It's really crucial around this time of the year that that happens because, as I said, we receive an influx of dogs, and the only way that we can reunite them is if they're identified and the details are current.
That's right. About 98% of the dogs that come into us have got identification, but unfortunately some of those owners still can't be traced because they've just forgotten to update phone numbers, addresses, etc. So, yeah, take a minute and check that they're done. If you need to, get your animal to the vet to have the microchip mm-hmm. checked and make sure your details are up to date.
And the best way to do that is call 1300-REG-PET. 1300-REG-PET is a great service of the National Pet Register. They're our customer service. People will be able to put you in the right direction if you're not on their registry, for starters. But if you are, they can update your details. So lots of handy things that you can do there. So 1300-REG-PET. So that brings us to the end of our news item. If you would like to read more about pets and fireworks, do check out the Lost Dogs Home website, dogshome.com. There's plenty of content there, particularly around this time of the year for that. Now it's time for another segment of ours.
This week's Pet of the Week.
It is indeed, and we've got a very sweet, delightful Pet of the Week. They all are, actually. But this one in particular is called Pumpkin.
Yep, Pumpkin is one of our many cats. I have met her, so I can safely say she's an absolute sweetheart. She's just over 4 years old, a brown tabby, bit of black, medium hair, so she will need a bit of a brush. Obviously, I'm saying she is a female. And she's just very pretty, very cuddly, but she's not high maintenance. She likes to just keep herself entertained, so but she will need a good brush, but it said, yeah, come and meet her. She's like all our other cats, she's health checked, she's fully vaccinated, she's wormed, and she's microchipped. So, amazing value for money as well. So, yeah, come and meet her and all the other lovely felines we have.
That's right. So, just for the month of December, we do have a half price adoptions campaign across all Lost Dogs Home shelters. Cats at our North Melbourne shelter are half price, cats above 6 months. If you're up in Queensland, we've got half price on cats, dogs, kittens and puppies. Our Campaspe shelter in Echuca is also half price on cats above 6 months. So do check that out. And it's, yeah, a good time to welcome a new family member into the home when everyone's on a break and can give them the time they deserve to settle in. So this is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. We're out the year. We've waved the adoption flag for all our adoption candidates, in particular our adult cats. Cats represent the highest intakes at our shelters, with a good majority unidentified and unclaimed. While kittens have no issue wooing and cooing themselves to adoption, it's our adult cats that usually need a paw up. Throughout the year, we've had themed cat adoption events to help promote all our cats, but also direct the spotlight to our deserving adult cats. One we all thoroughly enjoyed was the Great Catsby evening, and here's a taste of what the evening was like at our North Melbourne shelter.
Sitting right between you is
Jack.
And you've just adopted Jack, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And how are you feeling?
Pretty good, excited.
Yep, so my name's Anthony.
You've got a really big smile on your face at the moment. Is there any particular reason why?
Yeah, I honestly didn't come expecting to walk home with a cat. It was just my girlfriend Laura was the one that was adamant on adopting a cat, but I just saw him and, like, the way that you put your hand by the glass and they come up and rub their head against it and there's, like, pouring at the glass. And then we got him out and held him and I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Adopted all of our animals, We talked about adopting, and then when we saw there was tonight on the Catsby, we thought, sure, we'll come and check it out and see what it's about.
And tell us a little bit about Jack.
Oh, he's a tabby, so, and He's a little motor mouth.
He is, and he's been squishing his nose through the box. There's these little grills.
Yeah.
He's saying hello.
He's only little, so he's only about a year old, I think the sign sort of said.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that he's adaptable with the dogs, because we have two dogs, both very different in personality as well. Mm. So we needed a cat that was going to be able to socialise and sort of hopefully intermingle with our other animals. The lady sort of said to us that if they were able to interact with cats, the likelihood was greater. So she did sort of show us that he was able to interact and go into another pen with another cat, and they seemed fine.
So who did you adopt today?
We got Nibs.
And tell us a little bit about Nibs.
He looks like an awesome tiny leopard. Tiger thing. It's awesome.
And I hear he took to you right away for a particular reason.
I don't know. It's clearly just a bro thing. Don't be sad. Or the beard. Yeah, it's definitely the beard. We just had him, held him like a little baby, and he was scratching at my beard, and it was awesome.
Awesome. So good, fun times ahead, possibly with a bit of cat bearding as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I'll be amused for hours watching a kitty this energetic run about. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the sound of a very happy adopter there from our Great Catsby event that we had earlier this year. Sharon, you were a big part of this event as well. You helped our events team sort of pull bits and pieces together, but you also created some of our outfits too.
Oh, yes, at the ballet school, creating headpieces as you do of an evening.
Making us look very glamorous on the night, but it was a pretty successful night. We adopted out 14 cats over 3 hours, so that's quite a good statistic for just 3 hours.
It was amazing.
And what were your thoughts on the evening?
Oh, it was just a fantastic evening. I mean, the weather was shocking, and yet people were still... You didn't even notice the rain. Everyone was just so happy, and it was just so great. I'm a big cat lover. It's great to see them going to great homes. So,
and just the demographics of people that came along was so varied. We had, you know, as you heard, quite a younger couple coming along, and there were elderly couples as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it was really, really great to see all of that. And since then, we've had Cataweene and a bunch of other events, and we will be having Twilight Adoption again coming up very soon. So we will keep you informed on that. This is the Pets Aloud Best of Special on Joy 94.9. I am joined by the lovely Sharon Elliott, our team leader, fundraising team leader at the Lost Dogs Home. Hope you're having a good afternoon. Right after this, we will be continuing the Best of. You're on Joy 94.9.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app. Now at joy.org.au.
This is the Pets Aloud Best of Special, and all throughout today we're looking at the highlights of 2013. For the last 7 years, Bobby, a Maltese Terrier Cross, has been a Delta therapy dog. Earlier in the year, his owner Marilyn, a client of the Frank Sanway's Veterinary Clinic, joined Kev and Alan in the studio to talk about volunteering and at nursing homes. It's quite a great interview. So we've only got a snippet here. I'll let you know how you can listen to the rest of it, but here it is on Joy 94.9.
So how do the residents react when Bobby visits them? Do you think he makes a difference to their day?
Yeah. Look, even those that have, you know, quite severe dementia, who don't remember him from 1 week to the next, I know that for those sort of five-ish minutes that I'm one-on-one with them, they talk about the animals that they had. I hear the same story a lot, but it's just great to hear them. Now and again, they'll talk about something that's new to us, and you just see that they're great. There's one lady, so I'm currently at Assisi, which is in Rosanna. It's an elderly nursing home set up for predominantly the Italian population, and I speak Italian.
Okay.
And so that's fitted in quite nicely because I can actually converse with a lot of these people. And...
It's sad when people have had animals all their lives.
And that's where it
and
is.
And they can't have them anymore.
Yeah. And so that's the story. Like, there's one gentleman, especially, that as soon as he sees Bobby, he comes running, he's only on a walking stick, and he comes running around because he says, oh, just like my Matilda. and he's only just been there for probably 6 months, and he had to give Matilda up.
Okay.
Because one of the things is a lot of nursing homes have tried to have animals, and look, it's not great because either everyone feeds them or no one feeds them. Yeah. With dogs, everyone tries to walk them and then no one walks them.
I suppose one of the things that we always say is really important with dogs is it's really important to have a routine. Mm. And in that sort of environment with so many people, it's very difficult to have that routine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He so look, Bob, there's one lady there who shakes constantly.
Yeah.
And as soon as Bobby is near her, she stops shaking.
Wow.
And her daughters, because she's visited a lot by her daughters, say that it's just incredible. They've never, I think she's been in there for about 6-7 years.
Yeah.
They have never seen her so calm.
Mm.
But again, that's sort of, and I normally stay with her a little bit longer.
So it is that calming effect that Bobby has.
It's amazing.
With her.
It's amazing. The previous nursing home that I'd go to, there was a gentleman there who was quite emotional most of the time. So whether it was crying or anger, but there was huge, and it was always he couldn't be controlled. He was in one of those sort of extended wheelchairs, so he was like more like in a bed that they'd used to wheel him around. I'd pop Bobby on his lap and we'd go for walks around the corridors, mm-hmm. and he was as calm as could be.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So it is, and this hasn't happened to me, but there's stories amongst the other teams that when the dogs are put near a lot of the elderly talk to them and open up a lot more and say, you know, I've got this pain here, or I've got... Whereas the nurses and stuff can't get them to say that sort of stuff.
I think it's really... A lot of... My partner used to work in aged care, and people are very aware of physical ailments that elderly people often have, but actually they suffer from quite a lot of depression as well, just because... I suppose because of life stage and not being able to communicate, and I suppose that's where it comes in.
Yeah. Look, it's 5 minutes of happiness in a sense a week, but and a lot of them unfortunately don't get a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
So to have that one-on-one, and it's quite tactile, where he's forever being patted, and you know, they want to feed him Tim Tams, and so I. I'm getting better because one of the things too, I don't want him to get too many treats.
Yeah. Mm.
But I do remember to bring his little bottle with his little liver treats, and they give it to him.
That there was just a portion of the interview Kev and Alan had with Marilyn about her very special pooch, Bobby, who helps residents at nursing homes as part of Delta Society. If you would like to find out more about the Delta Society, check out their website, www.deltasociety.com.au. The Lost Dogs Home also has a therapy program with community groups. To find out more about that, you can speak with our volunteers coordinator, Elena, by calling 93 329 2755. Sharon, what did you think about the interview?
Oh, that was lovely. It was really lovely to hear. And I've seen, I mentioned earlier, taking one of my dogs to the children's Christmas party, and you just see how people can just react and be themselves sometimes with an animal that they may not be able to do otherwise.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It is. And that point that Marilyn made about how people were opening up more so about their perhaps physical ailments or things like that they wouldn't necessarily with humans. Kids do that also as well. I remember I used to tell my secrets to my family pet, you know.
That's right. It's someone safe. It's there's no judgment from an animal, which is one of the beautiful things about them.
It is. Absolutely love that interview. If you'd like to hear the rest of it, check it out on our podcast page. So joy.org.au/petsallowed. It's under pet therapy, I believe. So therapy dogs, I believe. So do scroll down and you'll find it there. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. My name is Oz and I'm joined in the studio by Sharon. And all throughout today's program on Pets Allowed, we are counting down we're not counting down, but we're going through some of the highlights of 2013 on Pets Allowed. A few months ago, we did a special on renting with pets. Now, this is a really important topic because a lot of people that don't have the opportunity to plan ahead or for whatever reason do end up surrendering their pets as a result of rentals. So we thought that would be a good opportunity to sort of look at your rights as tenants and things that you can do to stop that from happening, really. And we caught up with Sonia Forrest from Sydney, who adopted her greyhound mastiff mix Charlie 6 years ago and has lived in rentals for 15 years. She's currently renting a 3-bedroom house and admits the search to find a rental has been quite tough due to Charlie's size and need for space. Sonia has had to rule out apartments, townhouses and villas as options, so she's had a bit of a tough time. But while being a long-term renter, Sonia has also been a landlord and maintains that there are ways to make the experience of finding a rental more positive. Now, here's a portion of the interview we did with her earlier in the year, and there's quite a few handy tips, so maybe keep a pen aside to take notes.
I try to be pretty open and honest from the get-go. So whenever I apply for a place, I'm always referencing the fact that I have a pet, that he's quite large, and what his living arrangements are, that he's predominantly outdoors but does come inside sometimes. And to sort of back that up and validate the fact that he's not going to cause damage to a property or a yard, I've managed to collect along through time several references from property agents to indicate that he, like, the time in the house has meant that there's been no visible damage to the property or yard caused by the animal or myself. And so in a way, whenever I've applied for a new property, there will be the references I hand over for myself, but then I'm actually handing them over for the dog as well.
That's fantastic. There's some sort of a pet resume.
Yes. He's currently got 3 references happening. So.
Oh, great. Have you got a good headshot of him as well?
I could work on that, though.
That sounds great. And so do you, what else do you add to that resume? Is it just mainly the references?
Yeah, so it's just general references. And then quite often they'll call and just inquire about his breeding and personality. And he's quite placid, and although he's a big dog, he's not hugely active and he's very friendly. So I just assure them that if there's inspections and things like that, I'll either be in the home to make them feel safe, or I'm quite happy to introduce them beforehand so that they know that he's non-threatening. And just sort of do everything I can to reassure him that he's not going to be any hassle for them in any way.
Have you ever had to pay a pet bond or extra rent as a result?
No, I've been really lucky. I've had it suggested, and I had accepted the possibility of paying a pet bond, and then they never went ahead with it for reasons I don't know. Mm. And when I was a landlord, I did have speak to my property agent about the possibility of doing that as well, and they said it was just entirely up to me, and I opted to not go down that path as well. I just consider it that if there is any damage to a property, then it's still the pet owner's responsibility, so it would be covered by their bond, really.
And so having experience being a landlord yourself, we've seen a bit of a trend here in Melbourne. I'm not quite sure what it's like up in Sydney, in particularly large, well-known establishments that are opting to go for the pet-friendly option to, I suppose, encourage a good environment for people moving in, but also open up the chances of their property being rented. Mm-hmm. What would you say on that particular topic, having been a landlord yourself?
I would definitely encourage it. It seems, through the experience that I had, it resulted in I would quite often have tenants who were more likely to apply for a longer lease period. So I had a shorter turnover in terms of the people that I had in my property. And it also meant as well that the people who were applying for the house that I owned were usually families with a dog or a cat. I wasn't somebody who had like a lot of single people, because I had a house that I was renting. And again, I just like the idea of having a family there. To me, it kind of indicated longevity of stay, and as a landlord, you want your place rented for as long as possible. So it was all pluses as far as I was concerned. And in terms of me being a renter myself with a pet, I try to not move as much as possible because of the dog and relocating him and getting him settled into a new place. So if I find somewhere suitable, I'm inclined to stay there for usually much longer than 12 months.
That there was Sonia sharing some really handy tips there about renting with pets, but also the positive for landlords in terms of having people with pets stay in their homes. Sharon, you've got a couple of, well, more than a couple of pets. You've got 2 cats and 2 dogs. And you move around quite a bit too.
I do indeed. Yes, we're not very good at deciding where we want to live, so we're currently renting, and yeah, we moved a few times. Like Sonia, we're always very upfront about our animals and that we have them. Mm. We like to make sure we let possible landlords know that they are sort of well trained. They are all indoor animals, but the dogs are house trained, walked regularly, they're not destructive animals. And we were a little bit cheeky with our last rental application because we had the two dogs, and they are only little and they're sort of very cute and harmless looking. We got a really cute shot of our very sweet children and the dogs all looking all cute and cuddly, and we can't help but wonder if that actually sort of swung the application for us rather than just helped us scrape through.
I think that's a pretty good reflection, though. You do have very sweet children. We've actually used it in our catalogues, even. They're so photogenic.
Yes, yeah. We just make use of that.
Exactly, exactly. Who can say no to a couple of cute kids and puppies?
But, exactly.
It's great. It's actually giving a landlord an insight into your family and who will be actually staying in their property.
Yeah, that's right. It's being very open about who you are and that you're sort of good people and you want to run a nice house. Our current landlords actually got into us very early when our lease was coming up to ask us to extend. So it's working out well for both of us.
Oh, that's good to hear. Now, if you would like more tips and information about renting with pets, we do have quite a list of comprehensive things that Kate and I went through on that program called Renting with Pets. So do check that out as a podcast on our profile page, joy.org.au/petsallowed. This is the Pets Allowed Best of Special. My name is Oz and I'm joined in the studio by Sharon. Up next, we're actually going to be looking at quite a special case story, really, that we experienced at the home, and Sharon's going to give us a bit of an insight into that. This is Joy 94.9.
There is so much to experience on the Joy website. Want to find out when your favourite Joy show airs? Check out the newly updated program grid. Missed an interview you really wanted to hear? You're likely to find it on our podcast page. Want to get in touch with a community group? Check out the community directory. Require a tradesperson, a place to eat, somewhere to play? See our sponsor directory. Need to renew your Joy membership? Do it on the Joy website. Check it out now, joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks a lot for that, Sharon. That was really well done. And yes, the Joy website does have plenty of information there. There's a program grid as well. There's all the profile pages of each show. So do check it out, joy.org.au. Now, Sharon, you've been keeping me company for almost an hour now. Are you enjoying it?
I'm having a lovely time. It's nice to steal the mic from my children for a change.
So we're going to have you back sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent. Well, look, it is time to talk about a particular case study that we saw at the home. Imagine what it would be like to not receive love, care and attention during the first few years of your life. Imagine never having had a bath or haircut or your hair combed. On a daily basis at the Lost Dogs Home, we see mistreated and neglected dogs and cats who come into our care with varying health and behavioural problems as a result. Honey, an adorable Cocker Spaniel, was surrendered to our Campaspe shelter in Echuca earlier this year. Honey's journey and story through the home touched many of our staff, and there is certainly a happy outcome to Honey's story, so don't worry about that. Sharon, can you take us back to when Honey first arrived at our shelter? What sort of a state was she in?
Well, on first impression, she had what we see too often with too many animals. She had matted fur. She had lots of fleas all through. Also, she was limping. But probably even slightly more worrying was the fact that she was very unsure of herself, which is often a sign that an animal is quite distressed physically. So she, obviously, we got the vet to examine her, and the vet was horrified to find that she actually had multiple grass seeds infections. So she was in a bad way and in a lot of pain.
Well, the thing with grass seeds is that, you know, it's kind of viewed as something that could not really be much of a problem. But in a case, a neglect case like Honey's, it was a severe problem because it wasn't combed out and it travelled right through to her skin.
That's right. It was stuck in the in the hair, the pointed ends are pushing into the skin. Mm. Now, usually that would just be brushed out, come out of a normal coat, but her hair was matted and, yeah, it actually pushed it into her flesh.
So what happened once she was brought to the Frank Sanways Veterinary Clinic in North Melbourne?
Well, the surgery, she needed surgery to get the grass seeds removed. During her first surgery, they actually found 18 grass seeds. So all of those obviously were taken out. They popped a drain in and stitched her all up. And she would have been in a lot of pain at that time. But just, of course, when you think things are on the up, and then another abscess started forming under her armpit. So it was back in for more surgery and a couple more grass seeds removed from there. And in the end, she actually had six lots of surgery in total to get all those grass seeds removed. So, makes you realise quite how bad things were for her.
And during her recovery time at the home, which we do for a lot of our residents, is put them on a foster care program. And through that, she met a very special person called Jess.
She did indeed. She was very lucky to go home with Jess. She actually spent 3 months with her. They did both become very close. I think they were both lucky in this case. Jess sort of tells us that honey was a joy to look after. She would have been in a lot of pain. She had to have her wounds dressed daily and a lot of cleaning, and she would just tolerate everything and still come back with licks and tail wagging and everything.
Complete gratitude.
Absolutely. Mm. So they Jess did a wonderful job with her.
And so after foster care, she was brought back to the home and put up for adoption.
That's right, and didn't stay there for very long. Dogs like that don't tend to. And yes, so she will have just had her first Christmas in her forever home now. A lady called Lynette brought her son James in, and they just clicked straight away. Apparently, the photo that was taken of them together on their first meeting is blown up and kept at home up on the wall.
Well, so. I was just going to say, we have that in the feature story on our website, and it is such a beautiful photograph. Of how old is James? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I think he's 8, 9, but
in primary school.
Just a young boy. Yeah.
But just looking completely ecstatic, with his new pet. But also, the story. It's such a big story, and to know that you've made a difference to an animal's life. It's such a great life lesson for a child that age, I think.
Oh, exactly, because he knows, what she's been through, and that, she's sort of very special, and she gives a lot of love back too, and maybe knows that they were the people that helped and took her away from the pain and the misery that she'd been through.
That's it. Now, we do unfortunately see a lot of cases like this at the Lost Dogs Home. So there are many honeys out there, so to speak. For listeners that are curious as to how they can help, what can they do?
There's so many things you can do. Obviously, sometimes the easiest way for people to help is just through donating, because every dog that comes through needs some level of care. Pre-adoption, they'll be de-sexed, vaccinated. A lot of them do need a good groom, a good shave. Matted hair is something we see very frequently. And then your more extreme cases like Honey that require a lot of extensive surgery, which of course is very expensive. Of course, people can donate food, blankets, towels, things like that. We use them. It would cost us a fortune if we had to pay for all of those.
That's right.
We're always on the lookout for volunteers. Dogs like Honey, once they're out of foster care and they're waiting for adoption, always need walking. The cats need a cuddle. There's always volunteers, and we love them up in our office as well, folding our receipts for us. And of course, Jess can't foster all the dogs. So we're always on the lookout for foster carers, both for dogs that have surgery, for cats, for little kittens that come in without their mums. So we can be contacted to help out with any of those those things, and sometimes people come up with some wonderful ideas of their own for how they can fundraise or things they can donate to the home to help.
So, definitely. We've had calendars pulled together. We've had books pulled together. It's just brilliant how people exercise their creativity for a good cause.
Absolutely. And we always love to sort of work with people doing that. We get very excited about doing something different as well. So always happy to hear from anyone with any bright ideas.
Yeah. Well, look, we did promise a good ending, and that was certainly a really good ending. And if you would like to find out more about how you can help, you can call our shelter on 9329 2755. Listen to the prompts and press option 3, I believe, to speak to Sharon and her group of fundraising staff.
Absolutely, yeah, option 3. And even if you're not sure, is it really fundraising or is it something else, or talk to us anyway.
That's right.
And, yeah, we can work it out.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for sharing that story. And if you would like to read it, check it out at dogshome.com. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Hope you're having a fabulous day. It's almost the end of the show. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app. Now at joy.org.au.
It is indeed Joy 94.9, and this is Pets Allowed, Joy's very own show about pets. And it is time for our segment called Dog Dates. Now, we just thought this weekend, with this weekend being quite warm, we would look at dog beaches, particularly, you know, if you've got a lab that loves the water, or, you know, any of your dogs that like to go in for a swim, you might want to have a swim too. Sharon, the weather's going up to 38 degrees tomorrow.
Yes, I was a bit disappointed to hear that, I confess. Not my kind of weather.
It is quite warm. So perhaps if you're going to do it, do head out earlier in the day or later in the day. Yeah. So there's a number of places that you can go to. There's the Burns Reserve, Altona Dog Beach. This is a really, really popular one for people out in the west, I suppose, but there's lots of people that travel out to it as well from other suburbs. It is on Altona Road in Altona. It's, got water access and bins, so don't forget to pick up after your dogs. But, yeah, it's a great space to sort of let them run around and have a dip. If you're on the other end of town, Sandown Street Beach. This is obviously one of the biggest and most popular dog beaches in Melbourne, in Brighton. So it's between Sandown Street and Bay Street, Brighton. There is an off-leash area that extends north from Sandown Street to Bay Street. So, you can let your pooch run around and have lots of fun in that unrestricted area. There's also plenty of access to water, bins and a fenced area. Also, the city of Port Phillip have a few dog areas dog beaches for your dogs. So do check that out on their website. What will you be getting up to this weekend, Sharon?
The 38 degrees, that should be an indoors and air conditioning on day for me, I reckon. And then I suppose probably the usual boring housework and, just hang out with the animals indoors.
Particularly, I think with seniors, we always suggest senior pets to keep them indoors, keep them cool, keep the aircon on, have plenty of access to water.
Definitely. I have an elderly dog myself with Cushing's. He does suffer in the heat, so yeah, take care of them.
Is there anything particularly you do? Like Kev, I know, makes popsicles for Cinder.
Yeah, no, I must admit, I get away with being a little bit lazy because we do just put the aircon on once it's hot, and I do have guinea pigs, and they come indoors on the hot days. I don't like to think of them being outdoors, so yeah, we just rely on the aircon to do the hard work for us.
That's it. It's enjoy the hot weather, but responsibly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the message. Exactly. And don't overexercise your pets, particularly also if they're old as well. So keep your walks to a limit, and maybe do it earlier in the morning or later in the evening.
Yeah, definitely avoid that sun in the middle of the day.
It's time to wrap up the program. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, Sharon.
Thanks, Oz. I've had a ball, actually. Thank you for inviting me.
We will definitely have you back again to keep us company. Now, just as a reminder, we had Pumpkin, who's our pet of the week. Pumpkin is a female, a brown tabby and black cat, 4 years old and 1 month and 3 weeks, to be specific. If you're interested in finding out more about Pumpkin, do check out our website, dogshome.com, and Pumpkin's number is 953335. So that's 953335. I think, I believe. My eyes aren't seeing. 953-335. Yep. This has been Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Hope you've had a wonderful day. We will check in with you again next week from 12. So don't forget to walk your dogs and pat your cats.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.